Lesson 20, the imperfect active indicative verbs and the special verb aimi. In this lesson, we are going to study the imperfect active indicative verb. The imperfect tense denotes continued action in past time. In a future lesson, we're going to study the aorist tense. The aorist tense is a single action in past time. But the imperfect tense denotes continued action that happened in the past. The active voice denotes the subject in the sentence is doing the action to someone. Remember, the middle voice is the subject acting upon himself. The passive voice is the subject receiving the action. The active voice is the subject doing the action to someone. And the indicative mood. The indicative mood denotes that the verb is expressing a factual statement, as opposed to an expression of a possibility, a wish, or a command. So far we've studied the present active indicative, the present middle passive indicative, and now we go to a new tense, the imperfect tense. The present tense denoted a continuous action that was going on at the present. The imperfect tense denotes continued action in past time. Next, the augment of past tense verbs. Verbs that express past tense action have an augment placed at the beginning of the stem of the verb. The augment placed at the beginning of the stem of verbs that do not begin with a vowel is epsilon. The augment is epsilon. Example, luo, which is the present active indicative form, I loose, is changed to eluon, I was loosing. Notice the imperfect tense denoting continuous action in past time. It's translated by the word was. Not I loose or am loosing, but I was loosing. A single act in past time would be I loosed. I was loosing. But notice that luo has the augment put at the beginning of the stem of the word. Look at the epsilon. Eluon. The augment, epsilon, plus the stem of the word lu, plus the imperfect personal ending, own. Eluon. Secondly, verbs that begin with a vowel lengthen that vowel, except alpha lengthens to eta. In other words, if a word does not begin with a vowel, the augment epsilon is placed at the beginning of the stem of the word. But if the word already begins with a vowel, that vowel is lengthened, except that alpha is not lengthened to a long alpha, but to an eta. The example, at the bottom of page 1 of lesson 20, agero. We had this in our last lesson, I raise up. Agero lengthens to ageron, I was raising. Notice the epsilon changes to eta, its lengthened form, in the imperfect tense. Again, akuo is I hear. That's the present active indicative form, akuo, I hear. Akuo lengthens to akuon. The alpha lengthens to eta. Lesson 20, page 2, the imperfect active verbs. The imperfect active indicative augment and endings are as follows. In the first person singular I, notice the epsilon augment. The dots represent the stem of a word. So you have the augment plus own. Omicron nu is the first person singular ending, personal ending of the imperfect active indicative verb. A verb that has the augment on the front of it and the own ending is translated was. I was doing something. The first person plural we has the augment epsilon and the personal ending for the imperfect active indicative first person plural is omen. Second person, singular, for you or thou, the augment epsilon and the ending s. The second person, plural, you or ye, the augment epsilon and the ending ete. The third person, singular, he, she, or it, you have the augment epsilon and the ending is e or n. The third person singular has the movable nu. It can be found in either form, either with an epsilon at the end or with an epsilon nu. Third person plural, they, has the augment epsilon with the ending own. Notice your notes at the bottom. The third person singular has the movable nu. It can be found in either form. Secondly, the first person singular and the third person plural are the same in form, if you notice. Both have own endings. Only the context can determine which is being used. And we'll take that later as we go through the New Testament. Lesson 20, the imperfect active indicative verbs. The imperfect active indicative of luo. Now we're going to take our augment and our endings for the imperfect active indicative and apply it to the word luo, I loose. The first person singular is eluon. Notice the augment epsilon, the stem lu, and your first person singular, imperfect active indicative personal ending, own. I was loosing. First person plural is eluomen. We were loosing. Second person singular, elues. You or thou were loosing. Second person plural, eluete, you or ye were loosing. Third person singular, elue, or if the word has the movable nu in the text, it'll be eluen. He was loosing, or she was loosing, or it was loosing. Third person plural, eluon, they were loosing. And again, notice your note. The third person singular has the movable nu. And secondly, the first person singular and the third person plural are the same in form. Only the context of your sentence can determine which is being used. Now on to lesson 20, page 4. And the study of a special verb, the special verb aimi. In this section, we want to present the special verb aimi. The verb aimi is translated I am and expresses existence or state of being. This is a very special word used in the New Testament, as we will see when we take the reading exercise for this lesson. And just as a side note, this is the word used when Jesus stated that he is the I Am. This is the name for God that God gave to Moses in the book of Exodus. When Moses said, when I go to Pharaoh and tell him that God has said to let my people go, what is your name that I might tell him? And God said, tell him I Am has sent you. You can see why it denotes existence or state of being. God is the eternally existent one. In the Garden of Gethsemane, before Jesus was crucified, when they came out to get him, they came out to him with clubs and lanterns, and they came and Jesus said, whom are you seeking? And they said, Jesus the Nazarene. He said, I am. In the English text it says, I am he. But just in the Greek text he said, I am. And they all fell over backwards. He spoke to them the name of God. He is the I Am. And they fell over backwards. And when they got up off the ground, he was showing them that he could have just walked out in the midst, but he was voluntarily laying down his life. But when he said that he is the I Am, the eternally existent one, they all fell over. A very special word. It is also used to express, I am going to do something. But when it's used by itself, it is the name of God. Next paragraph. Because this verb does not express that the subject is doing something to someone, the nominative case is used to complete its meaning instead of the usual accusative case. Remember, we mentioned to you the accusative case is the direct object of the verb. It completes the meaning of the verb. It tells what the verb is doing. For instance, in our practice sentence, we use the term, the man is writing the letter. The letter is the direct object, would be in the accusative case, telling what he's writing. Well, with this special verb, instead of the word completing its meaning in the accusative case, it will be in the nominative case, as if it's the subject. In fact, in language, it's called the predicate nominative. And we'll point this out to you as we go through our reading exercises. At this time, we want to present the present active indicative and the imperfect active indicative of a me. Notice the present active indicative of a me, I am, the first person, singular, a me, I am. First person, plural, es men, we are. This is the present active. Now, this is not imperfect. Second person, singular, is a, you or thou are. The second person plural, este, you or ye are. Third person singular, estine or esti. Notice the movable new, translated he is. The third person plural, ac, or with the movable new, a scene, translated, they are. Now on to page 5 and the imperfect active indicative of a me. Lesson 20, page 5, the imperfect active indicative of a me, I am. Remember, the imperfect active indicative is continued or continuous action in past time. Notice the first person singular. It's pronounced amen. And its translation is I was. First person plural. Amen. We were. Second person singular. Ace. You or thou were. Second person plural. Ate. You or ye were. Your third person singular, which is important for our text in John 1, ain, he was, showing continuous existence in the past. Third person plural, a son, they were. After you review this lesson, you should go on to the pronunciation and reading exercise for this lesson, beginning on page 6. Lesson 20, Exercise 1, the pronunciation exercises. In this exercise, we're going to study the imperfect active indicative verbs in John chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. And by the way, the only imperfect active indicative verbs in this section is the imperfect active indicative of a me, and we'll study that in a moment. All of the material that we have studied in lessons 11 through 19 are now underlined and parsed in the text. It would be beneficial for you to take the pages on the verb a me out of the chart section of your notebook for reference as we go through this exercise. Beginning with line 1, notice NRK, ein hologos. Here is the third person singular, imperfect active indicative of a me, the word was. Notice hologos, the nominative case, completes the meaning of the verb. Instead of ton logon, was the word, it's hologos in the nominative case. Now let's see what this means. NRK, in beginning. And by the way, that's the same Greek phrase used in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, called the Septuagint, for Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So that's our identification point. NRK is Genesis 1:1. At the time of creation, notice our text, the word was. See the importance of the imperfect active indicative? Continuous action in past time. He continually existed, and he was in existence when creation began. Continuing in line 1, the last word, kai and hologos ein pros ton theon. And the word was with God. Again showing continuous action. But the word pros, a very special preposition, not with God, like side by side with him. Pros means face to face with God. Prosopon is the word for face in Greek. So pros, equal to God. The word was in existence equal to God. Line 3. Kai theos ein hologos, perfect example of the use of the verb eimi. And God, not a God, there is no indefinite article in the Greek text. And notice that the word God is the subject. And God was ein hologos. That is, God existed and was continuously in existence at the point of creation as the word, hologos. At the end of line 3, which is also the beginning of verse 2 of John chapter 1, houtos, this one. In English it's translated he. This is one of our demonstrative pronouns, pointing to him. This one, ein, NRK pros ton theon. This one was in beginning with God. A summary statement of verse 1. This one, that is the word, was continuously in existence in the beginning, equal to God. The beautiful presentation of the eternally existent nature of the Word of God, who was God, equal to God at the point of creation, when all things were created. Now let's go to lesson 20, page 7, verse 4. It says, en auto zoe ein. In him life was. Now that's the way the Greek reads, but in English it would be, in him was life. Life is the continuation of the fulfillment of the verb, but notice zoe is in the nominative case, not the accusative case. That's why zoe is in the nominative case, because it completes the verb eimi, which is in the imperfect tense form. In him life was, or was life, again showing continuous existence of life in him. He goes on to say, kai he zoe, ein tophos, ton anthropon. And the life was the light of the men. Continuous existence. He had life in him, and his life became the light of men that illuminated them. Let's go over to lesson 20, page 8. In speaking of John the Baptist, line 15, beginning at verse 8, uk ein ekenos tophos. Translated, not was that one the light. That's kind of a jumbled way of saying, and that one, again, our demonstrative pronoun, that one, that is John, was not the light. Again, the word was denoting continuous state of existence. He was not the light. Line 16, alhina marturese peri tu photos, but that he might testify concerning the light. Line 17, ein to phos to alethinon, he was the light, the true. So John the Baptist gave testimony concerning the light, though he himself was not the light, but the Word, the Logos, which became flesh, he was the true light, the light, the true one. Again, the word was, ein, imperfect active indicative, showing continuous existence in past time, a state of being. He was the light, the true one. Ho fotidze panta anthropon, which enlightens every man, erkomenon, coming into the world. Notice line 19, verse 10. And to kosmo, in the world, ein he was. In English it would be, he was in the world. He was continually existing. He had a state of existence here in the world. But the world was created through him. But the world did not know him. Now let's go to lesson 20, page 10. Concerning John the Baptist, he had cried, saying concerning Jesus, line 34, Houtos ein hon apon. This one, English translation says he, but it is a demonstrative pronoun pointing to Jesus. This one was whom I said. Again, the word was is translated from the imperfect active indicative of a me. This one was, not is, that would be the present active. This is was, continuous action of past time. This one was whom I said, ho opiso mu, the one after me, coming, erkomenos, emprosthen mu, gegunin, before me has come. So he has already come before me, though physically he was after me. Line 35, the last word, hoti protosmu ein, because he was first of me. Kind of an awkward way of saying that he has priority in existence and in nature and in creation. But notice again the word ein, he was, because he was continuously in a state of existence, the first or head of me. You should review this lesson and practice your reading. And the next lesson, lesson 21, we will be taking imperfect, active, and passive verbs.